This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. You know, I would say it's the second line edition of the podcast, but no, it is a special edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is our mock draft edition of the podcast. And because of that, we are bringing in our mock draft expert, Brian Jennings, who joins us from Philadelphia, correct?
Close enough. I'm in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, basically an hour northwest of it. So I've got to be specific because I know everybody says I'm from Philly, but that's not true. But I'm close enough.
Okay, close enough.
As close as I want to be, let's put it that.
Fair enough. Brian, how are you today?
Much better. Thank you very much. Much more humid. Getting a lot more rain this week. The rain fog decided to show up after being not raining for God knows how long, but the rain and the humidity probably showed up here.
All right. Good to hear. And listeners, we can't have a special edition of the podcast without bringing in our publisher, Lou Lafredo. Lou, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Has it? Yes, it has. I'm doing well. Melting, but doing well.
about par for Albuquerque this time of year?
Yeah, we have finally hit 100.
Oh, nice. We are, I think, about to hit 90 here in Denver.
Yeah.
Listeners, this edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com, enter in code PHN15, get yourself 15% off the sweetest lounging chair you can put in your fan cave. So as we normally do this, I would go through a rant of something that's on my mind, but you know what? We just don't have time for that this week. We're going straight into the mock draft. Brian has been doing this for Pro Hockey News for 20 plus years, as we were talking beforehand, pretty much since the beginning of Pro Hockey News. Brian, take us over some of the highlights of the last couple decades of doing this for Pro Hockey News.
Well, one of the major highlights that I have, obviously, was covering the NHL draft. Probably the first draft I ever covered was in Columbus, Ohio, when Patrick Kane was taken. That was the year Philadelphia actually had the worst record and lost out to Chicago and somehow they swapped with Chicago and getting Patrick Kane. Flyers ended up with James Van Riemsdyk, and we all know how that turned out. So needless to say, we're still cursing Patrick Kane, still claiming a golden count in 2010. But they'll talk about, the draft changing your fortunes. I met Patrick Kane at that draft, and I remember him being with his family and walking up and congratulating him. And it was definitely one of the highlights that I ever had. Definitely a different experience. Not the most exciting experience. I mean, let's face facts, the draft in and of itself is pretty boring, even in the first round. But the first round is when you sit back and you wait for all the trades to supposedly happen and never do come to pass. But you get to meet a lot of people. There's anybody who's in the National Hockey League, and people who are out of the National Hockey League, they're in that draft. They basically show up, just like they do with the award ceremonies and all that. My one highlight was taking the elevator with Steve Yzerman. And that was, and I love Steve Yzerman. I'm not much of a Red Wing fan, but I love Steve Yzerman. Be a little bit of an awestruck knowing that he was there and very quiet. I just kept my mouth shut. I'm not going to go over. I'm not going to say anything. Just get out of this elevator quick. And that's the way it was still a great experience. Definitely one of those things you definitely talk about to your grandkids or somebody else's grandkids.
Now, I got a question for you before we dive right into your mock draft that you're going to be publishing here on Pro Hockey News. The way this year's draft lottery went, there was a lot of speculation of, since it was kind of, it seemed like it was pre-recorded, it wasn't technically live. They did it in some, but I don't know. To me, it just seemed like it was kind of, they could have been done a lot better. I want to get your expert opinion on how the draft lottery was run this season.
I didn't have a big issue with it. I mean, I generally don't get all wigged out about it, but it could have been slightly better. Now, if it was, I know what you were saying about the fact that it wasn't done live. I think that's a disservice to the fans. I mean, look, do you want to get, you'd love to see their live reaction right away. But the fact of the matter is, those general managers that you see on the screen don't want to be there. They really don't. So whatever reaction you get is a pretty much reaction anyway. So you really didn't miss much, in my opinion. Because really the only thing that people wanted to know walking into this draft, who is getting Connor Bedard. The only real thing that I had to sit back and think about was, okay, is Philly going to get lucky and get up to number one? But no, Sally, no, they stayed at seven, and Chicago gets lucky again. And hey, look, you know, their wallet's just a little bit fatter these days because of it. But that was really where I wanted to watch, and that was all I really cared about. You know, they generally do this stuff behind the scenes anyway. I would love to see them actually do the balls, I'm picking the balls live rather than flipping the cards. That's what I'd rather see them do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they decide not to do that, so it is what it is. Because, you know, every conspiracy theorist comes out and says, oh, it's all fake, it's all this, it's all that. Well, it might be, but let's face facts until you can prove it. It is what it is, so.
Yeah,
but that's the only real intrigue that I think about whenever I look at the draft. But as long as the Edmonton Oilers don't get, you know, five first round picks in 4 years, I guess I'm okay with it.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right,
sure you don't.
All right. So speaking of Connor Bedard and the first overall draft pick in this year's draft, everybody's been expecting him to go number one. The Chicago Blackhawks have the first pick. So Brian, who are they taking?
Well, no big surprise here. It's going to be Connor Bedard. He had just an incredible year, 143 points in 57 games for Regina. He's considered a generational player, and I see no reason to not call him that. I think he's just a phenomenal player. I don't know what kind of pro he'll turn out to be. I know there's been some talk that he may go play on a wing. He's listed as a center. I think he'll stay as a center if that's where he's comfortable. At the end of the day, he's going to play wherever he wants to. He pretty much is the franchise right now. So I fully expect him to play center. Incredible year he had. Canadian Hockey League top prospect, top scorer. Anything you could talk about this kid. I mean, he was selling out buildings like the Calgary Saddle Dome for a minor league game, and that just doesn't happen even in Canada. So people wanted to go see this kid, and they pretty much got what they came for. And without a doubt, Chicago Blackhawks, no way in heck they're going to take anybody but Connor Bedard.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, and you mentioned that he may just be staying at that center position rather than going to the wing. Do you think he has the size to stay as an NHL center?
At 5'10", he's listed as 5'10", 185. Well, I remember being 5'9" and 160, and I mean, not much bigger, but still, as long as he's adding muscle, I think he could. He could stay at wing. But either way, I mean, the wingers generally do a lot of corner work. And I can't see him doing a lot of corner work. He's a very elusive player. Mm-hmm. There's that one highlight of him splitting the defenses. And look, this obviously the players that are in the NHL are much bigger, much faster, much stronger. See, what you get away with in juniors isn't what you're going to get away with at the NHL level, especially if you're talking about playing against teams like the Vegas Golden Knights, who have a fairly big defense core. He's very elusive, very shifty player. His deception is his strong suit, and that's what will get him to be a great player. It won't be because of his size. So, look, a lot of great players now come out being under 6 foot. And as long as they surround him with the kind of talent he wants and needs, I think he'll be fine. And I still think he'll stay center, but I could see on occasion where they'll move him to wing.
Okay. All right. And I don't think there's any, there's going to be much controversy over, you know, if he's going to go first or if he's going to go first, because he's going to go first. Let's go to the number two pick in the 2023 NHL entry draft, and that is the Anaheim Ducks. Ryan, who are they going to take?
Well, the thing about Anaheim, and I heard this the other day through Elliot Freeman, and I thought it was very interesting. The general manager, whose name escapes me, is a very good friend of Steve Yzerman. And one thing he knows about Yzerman is the philosophy that Yzerman has, which is go big or go home. You don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You don't have to go with the consensus pick. Obviously, with Detroit, they took Moritz Seider, and it turned out to be the right decision. The consensus is that they're going to take Adam Fantilli out of Michigan. The second best player in this draft, though, is Matvei Michkov, who at the beginning of the year was thought to challenge Bedard for the top pick. But obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But Fantilli, I really liked him a lot. I saw a lot of college hockey at the Big Ten. So I got to see a lot of Penn State and a lot of Michigan, including in the playoffs and the Frozen Four tournament. Mm-hmm. I think Fantilli fits what Anaheim wants to do. If Michkov was not anywhere near in this draft, I think it's a no-brainer for him to be there. I think he would fit in with a lot of top prospects. But since we have somebody on the line that knows Anaheim at least a little bit, Lou Lafredo, what do you think about Anaheim? Do you think that Fantilli is the right fit for them, or do you think they should swing for the fences and go for a shot and go after Michkov?
No, I think this one is the safe pick with Fantilli. Fantilli, excuse me. Michkov is, I think, 6'2", but he's a little bit lighter. But Fantilli's coming in at 6'2", and I'd rather have that size, to be honest with you.
Michkov's listed at 5'10", 172.
5'10", yeah, he's 172.
Right.
So he's a whole lot smaller, and I don't think that the Ducks – would advance themselves much with that kind of diminutive size. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. It's just it's Matt Zuccarello size. Right. And you just said it. The Golden Knights are a heavy team. And some kid coming in at 172 pounds is not going to get through all of that heaviness on any defensive team. So I'm with you on Fantilli.
I think Fantilli's the pick. It seems to be a consensus. And the one thing that you got to think about too that's been running, going around is that Michkov may not want to play for Anaheim. And if they interview him and he says, "Look, don't pick me," he's not going to be picked.
Right.
So yep. I mean, look, Anaheim's a beautiful area, Southern California, and all that, but I don't think that really matters to him as much. I think what matters is who he plays with, because who you play with in this league is what's going to matter to you. So I can't see Michkov wanting to play with a Duck team that he's going to wait 3 years for that may still be a bad team in another 3 years.
Right.
So I'm with you. I don't think Michkov's going to be right for Anaheim. I got to take Fantilli at this stage.
And not to mention Fantilli in his 36 games with the University of Michigan, scoring 65 points and having 30 goals thrown in there. Not too shabby. I think Anaheim would benefit greatly from that.
Right.
All right. Let's take a look at pick number 3 in the entry draft is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Columbus is interesting because they're a franchise that obviously needs offense. They're going to have Zach Werenski come back next year. And obviously, again, getting Ivan Provorov was a good coup for them. So their defense, of course, not going to be in a bad shape. But they've always been more of a defensive-minded team than offensive anyway. But they do need a game changer. But is their general manager going to sit back and go, "We're going to take a shot"? I don't. I think, again, they're going to take the quote-unquote safe pick. And in this case, like I said, for the top 4 or 5 picks, I can't see taking Leo Carlson being a bad thing. You're going to take a center with size like Fantilli, and you're going to get a, what would be considered a solid prospect for years to come. Kukulainen is the name of general managers. I forget his first name, but I know he's not afraid to take Europeans. And I think this would fall in line with what he would prefer to do. And again, I can't see Mishkov going, oh yeah, I want to go to Columbus. No, I can't see him even wanting to go there. If he has a call now, you know, like all these general managers, they may get a little stuck and say, well, look, if we pick you, you're coming. But look, when you got 3 years to wait around, I can't see him going to Columbus either. I think Carlson, again, is a safe pick. I think it's the right pick. And, you know, with now, with what happened with Voracek, they need another forward. They don't need more defense. So I think Carlson would be the good pick here.
Yeah. I see your argument with Mishkov and, you know, say – pretty much turning down Anaheim and Columbus, two clubs that, you know, don't really have a whole lot of draw as far as, you know, potential. Maybe Anaheim slightly more than Columbus. I feel like Anaheim has a little bit more of a direction that they're trying to go. Columbus just seems to be kind of lost at sea, at least in my mind. All right, let's move over to pick number four. That goes to the San Jose Sharks. Brian, what's your thought on this one?
Well, I know a lot of people now think that Will Smith, the center from the United States Development Program, might get picked here. I don't. I think this could be very well where Mishkov goes. You have to understand that this is a franchise that needs what would be a marquee name. And I know they have to be a little bit bigger and a little bit bold here. Based on talent alone, I think the Sharks will sit back and go, look, I think they have something that they can maybe offer, Mishkov. Obviously immediate playing time. I think the Sharks are one of those teams where they're going to be willing to take the risk. If they're not willing to take the risk, then I think Will Smith would be the call. You can maybe make the call that San Jose takes a defenseman, but I can't see them taking a defenseman that high. At the end of the day, I just got a feeling that Mishkov's not going to go any further than here. Because if he goes past San Jose, I think Mishkov goes to Montreal. But if they're considering the quote-unquote safe pick, they'll go with Smith. But I have them taking Mishkov.
Yeah. Kind of hard to see him drop below at least the top four. Right. No way he's dropping out of the top five. But as you had mentioned, Will Smith – you have him going with the Montreal Canadiens. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, Will Smith is one of those solid center players who has a great all-around game, and he was probably the best offensive forward in the United States Development Program. Montreal would love to take a center. They've been trying to develop their center core for a while. So I can't see the Montreal Canadiens passing on Will Smith. They could, again, take a defenseman. They need a defense core really bad. But at the same time, I see Montreal looking at their center core and saying, we're gonna continue to build that. They would only probably have to wait a year. He's going to go to Boston College. And I think he'll only be there for 1 year. So it's not like it's a player they're going to have to wait on for very long. So I have Montreal taking Will Smith.
Yeah, not a bad pick there. I don't know if I have much to add other than that. Let's look at the sixth pick in the draft. And I think Lou, I don't know if Lou's going to have anything to add to this since he does cover the Coyotes. But Brian, who do you have the Coyotes taking in the first round?
Well, the good thing about Arizona, I believe they have three first-round picks in this draft. They definitely have multiple picks because they, God knows, they have picks all over the place in the draft. But I believe, I could be wrong, they might have, this might be the only one in the first, no, sorry, they do have one at 12. Yep. They have the first round, they have Ottawa's first-round pick. So they do have another pick yet to go. And in this draft, it's going to be very forward-heavy at the top. I remember at the beginning of the year, people saying, well, you might not see a defenseman taken in the top 15, but I think with David Reidenbacher. I think he's probably the one kid since Arizona had traded away Chychrun. I think they need somebody to anchor that blue line and take a forward down the road at 12. They're not going to have to wait very long to take a forward anyway. So right now, I have Arizona taking David Reidenbacher. And for the Arizona, the NHL.com has Adam Kinnaman taking Reidenbacher, but they also have him taking Dalibor Dvorsky. So, but for right now, I have Reidenbacher.
Lou, your thoughts on this, since you do follow the Coyotes closer than anybody else here on the podcast.
I like the idea of taking a defenseman, Brian. I think what the one thing that Arizona has sort of fumbled, not sort of, they did fumble, was their cupboard full of defensemen.
Right.
That they had over a period of 5 years. But bad deals and everything else has cost them that asset down in the minors. The Tucson Roadrunners are still, pretty heavily stocked for the future up in Phoenix. But I think I would prefer that they take a defenseman at this point as well. Towards the end of the season, they started playing better hockey, and they were not the pushovers from the first half. I think a quality defense addition would help out on that. So, yeah. And, he might be able to step in the first year.
Right.
As much as I am resistant to that that idea, I think this kid could probably do that. So, Richard, I'm with Brian on this pick at the defense.
Okay. All right. So there we go for our top six. Number seven. I'm sure Brian, you went into this, taking off any rose-tinted glasses and any bias. Your Philadelphia Flyers. Who are they taking in the number seven spot?
I never have a bias. I'm totally. the one name that has been coming up ever since it's been announced they're taking a seventh pick in the draft is Ryan Leonard. He's going to Boston College, like Will Smith, as well as I believe two other players in this draft. I think Gabriel Perreault is. And I believe one other player might be. But what's interesting about that is last year's first round pick by the Flyers is Cutter Gauthier. Gauthier is a left winger that they're supposedly converting to right of the center, left to center. The one strength that the Flyers have throughout their system is right wing. So it's actually a luxury pick in per se to get Leonard, but he's a right winger in the mold of Matthew Tkachuk. And anybody who saw Matthew Tkachuk recently, just how darn good this kid is. And they claim the kid's a workout beast when they saw him over at the combine. Well, the only other name that I could think that would go here would be Oliver Moore, because Oliver Moore is considered to have quote unquote Connor McDavid speed. Well, that is what's going to be very, very tempting to the Flyers, especially considering Moore as a center. I can live with either one. I follow the U.S. development program, and I know their numbers generally get a little bit inflated with if you look at what they do, some of their kids. But I can't see, considering everybody I know, everybody I've talked to, everybody I listen to, they all say the same two words, Ryan Leonard. And for this pick, I'm going to say Ryan Leonard.
All right. I mean, I think you've sold me on this, that this would be the ideal pick for them in this year's draft. I guess my question is right now, if they do pick up Leonard, is he NHL ready?
Physically, yes.
Okay.
I believe mentally he's probably one of the more mature kids in this draft, but he's already made his commitment to go to Boston College. Now, Cutter Gauthier had said he was going to leave Boston College after a year. Well, he's decided he's going to go back for a year. So he would get an opportunity to play with Leonard. And if one thing that I thought that I had heard about what the Flyers want to do is they want to create their own quote unquote Legion of Doom part two, where you take these kids that are all going to Boston College and all play in the U.S. development program. These kids that know each other since they're like 14 years old, 15 years old, and stick them together and let them play together for years. The only couple of differences, and I understand why people are saying, well, Reinbach would be perfect for Philly. Yes, he would. But then again, so would Axel Sandin Pelikka. They could go defense, especially if, since Philly's going to have multiple picks this year. They got another one at 22. And if this pick with trade with St. Louis goes through, they'll probably have another. So I think defensively they'll go after those at the end of the draft, not at this part of the draft. And but again, I could see a center. If they really want to go forward and really help their core, they should go probably left wing. Because like I said, they're really stocked on right. So, but I could see a case where they call, you know, the Colby Barlow's name or Zach Benson's name. But I do think after everything that I hear, I just can't see them picking anybody other than Ryan Leonard, unless somebody above them takes Leonard.
All right. Okay. Take us to pick number 8 with the Washington Capitals. You have another Finn going in the top 10.
Yes, I do.
A Swede, not a Finn.
Swedish. My bad. You were close. still a defenseman. I think Washington, unless Mishkov falls to them, I know they want Mishkov back. And if there's anybody that can get Mishkov out of Russia, it's Alex Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. And that's been a lot of the talk recently is there's no way Mishkov falls past Washington. Maybe he goes to Detroit. I don't see that happening. I think he would fall to the Caps. But if they're not going to get Mishkov, and they don't move up to try and get him or at least get somebody else, I see the Capitals rather trying to shore up their defensive core, and I have them taking Axel Sandin Pelikka.
Yeah, okay. Solid pick. Let's move on.
I know Kimmelman has them taking Pelikka, and Morelli thinks that Mishkov may fall to them at 8. So take that for that, you know, grain of salt.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what kind of pull that Ovechkin has there. I don't know. I think it'd be really cool to see a young Russian player come in, especially like a player of Mishkov's, you know, caliber come in and play at the very end of Ovechkin's career. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a passing of the torch. Just feels right. But yeah, he's going to have to slip pretty far down to get in there.
And if you've seen any highlights of this kid, the way he shoots the puck, I mean, he's an Ovechkin clone. Oh. You know, I mean, it would be the perfect hand off the baton. But at the same time, I just can't see how he's going to fall. If Washington wants them, they better offer the farm to go up and get them. And I don't think they have enough in their cupboard, a lot like Pittsburgh. I don't think they have enough in their cupboard to say, hey, Anaheim, hey, Columbus, can we come up and get them for you? I can't see it happening. I think Washington's going to have to be content with taking who they get.
All right. All right, let's move on to pick number 9, the Detroit Red Wings. Who are they going to be taking, Brian?
Well, if you believe the comparisons, they're going to get a Tage Thompson clone and take Matthew Wood, a big right winger along those mold of Thompson. He's definitely not Tage Thompson right now, that's for sure. But then again, neither was Tage Thompson when he was drafted. And yeah, he really developed into the player that he is. But hey, he was with the right program to do it. And with the U.S. development program, I still think as much as tempting as this is going to be, like I said, with Oliver Moore is pretty much a clone of, I'm trying to remember the name of the kid on in Detroit, but with the speed is going to be a very, very telling thing. They really want to, you know, another clone of what they already have. But I think size is something that they're going to need down the road. And somebody with a lot of skill. And again, another power forward type that they can mold and make into a really elite player. So I have I'm taking Matthew Wood.
Lou, do you have any counterpoints on that, or because I'm good with that.
This is probably the first difficult decision here. But who'd you? I think I would go with Wood.
I know Kimmelman thinks they're going to take Zach Benson, center out of Winnipeg.
Yeah,
that's not a bad pick. I also think that because Detroit's not afraid to take European players, Dalibor Dvorsky, I think Dvorsky would be a good fit with them. But again, I know Detroit. They've always garnered. They've always wanted size. I mean, speed rather. So but at the same time, I think they could use a right winger, 6'4", 200 pounds. And I think Yarsman would definitely take a chance on him right there. But again, I could see them saying, "Hey, Oliver Moore, come over here and join the crowd."
I don't have any heartburn over that either. But anyway, I'm good with that, Richard.
Sounds good to me. Let's move on to pick number 10, the St. Louis Blues. Brian, it looks like you have back-to-back Canadians going in the draft.
I do here. And, of course, part of what we talk about here may change depending on what happens between this proposed trade between Philly and St. Louis. But it sounds like since St. Louis has two other picks later on in the first round, this pick won't get affected. So I do think St. Louis is going to take this pick. And I do think that they're going to take Colby Barlow, left winger. Like I said, good Canadian boy, really can score. And St. Louis always looks for scorers. They obviously had trade away Tarasenko, and I think he would look pretty good on left wing.
Yeah, end of the season, just some of the moves they made. This is exactly what St. Louis could use, especially with that. That central division just getting a little bit tougher in that off season. We've had quite a few trades made, and you know, things are going to be getting a lot tougher, especially with Chicago potentially getting Bedard and how he performs in the as in his NHL debut.
Right. And Kimmelman has him taken Dvorsky, while Tom Morelli has him taken defenseman Tom Willander.
Okay. All right. Let's look at pick number 11 for the Vancouver Canucks. Brian, who are they going to take?
Well, I think they're going to continue with their forwards, going after forwards. Obviously, they would have loved to have won the lottery and got Bedard, since he's a big Vancouver. He's from that area. He's from Vancouver, big Canuck fan, but obviously that didn't work out for him. And but I do think they go with a forward here, and a kid with, like I said, Connor Bedard kind of speed. And I have them take in center Oliver Moore.
Moore putting up some decent numbers in the U18. You know, 9 points in 7 games, better than a point a game. Got to love that.
And he's going to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we already talked about this this team, but coming in pick number 12, their second pick of the first round, the Arizona Coyotes getting this pick from the Ottawa Senators. Brian, who are they taking?
Well, I have them taking a forward this time around, since we've already had them taking a defenseman at 6. I have them taking Nate Danielson, center. Timmerman has them taking Barlow, and Morelli has them taking Oliver Moore.
Lou, you think they're going to go with a forward in their second pick?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of need everything right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much that they don't.
But a building.
I really do want to get over to the mullet. Trying to work with Arizona Coyotes front office to do some stuff with them this coming season. So I think one or the other of these should and will be defensemen. And so we've got them going in their first pick. So now just build up on the on that forward line, and I think this is a good choice. Again, they started to turn it around. If they can get anybody in there with some kind of talent at going to the net, Arizona is still a long way from contending, but I think they're on a better path.
Yeah, I know the fact is Danielson is one of those risers. He's one of those kids when the midterm ranking, he was number 13, but he got bumped up to 7. Right. He had 33 goals, 45 assists in 68 games. Look, they like you said, they need everything, but you pair him with like a kid like Logan Cooley, I think they have something very special going on. Right. And as long as Arizona can keep what they have and not, you know, become the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NHL and start keeping these kids, I think their future is really bright. But at the same time, you know, they really got to get this whole stupid thing with the arena out of the way. But at the end of the day, they're going to need talent regardless of where they're going to play and playing. And we can get into an entire conversation about where I think they could end up. But at the same time, they still need players, and that's what I have them doing.
Right.
Yep. You know, his plus minus is going to be fitting well in Arizona at a minus 12. But, you know, nobody pays attention to that. So.
That's it? Just minus 12?
Minus 12 last season. All right. Let's move on to pick number 13, lucky 13 for the Buffalo Sabres. Maybe this is the one that will get them over the hump. Brian, who are they taking first round in the draft?
They have a pretty solid defensive core that they built up. I have them taking a forward in this case, and I have them taking Zach Benson, left winger. I really like this kid. I've talked to Russ Cohen, or I listened to him before, and said, and he really is high on this kid. I know Kimmelman has him taking Matthew Wood, again, in that same mold of Thompson, but I don't see them want to go too big, and that's why I have them going Benson. Morelli has him taking Dmitry Simashev, defenseman from Yugoslavia, Russia. But I just think Buffalo's not going to be continuing to work in that defensive core, although they've scored a ton of goals recently. Yeah. So maybe forward isn't what they want to do. And sooner than later, that team's going to break out and they're going to hit the playoffs and be more consistent. But at the same time, I think they're still going to add to their forward core, and that's why I have them picking who they're picking.
Yeah, his last season in the WHL, you know, just shy of 100 points in 60 games. Kid knows how to score. I think the only thing that's going to hold him back is, I mean, his size. 5'10", 159 pounds. He's probably going to have to hit the weight room before he hits the ice in the NHL.
Agreed.
All right. Let's look at pick number 14 going to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Brian, who you think they're going to take there?
I think with the pending retirements of Crosby and Malkin and Chris Letang, obviously they can go in a couple different places, but I think they're going to continue. They should, in my opinion, probably go defense, but I don't think they're going to do that. I have them taking Dalibor Dvorsky, center. Kemmelman has them taking Danielson, and then Morelli has them taking Benson. But I'm kind of along those same lines where I think they'll still take a forward. But defensemen, I can see why they would consider doing it, considering how poor the defense is. But their farm system in and of itself is fairly weak across the board. And generally, what you're drafting is for what your system dictates. That's why I think they're going to take a forward.
All right. And that takes us to pick number 15, the Nashville Predators, who just made a move Sunday with the Colorado Avalanche. Who are they taking at the number 15 spot?
And I believe this is the first two picks for them, as they will be picking at 24. They got that pick from the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. I have them taking Gabriel Perreault, left winger, United States Development Program. The kid was a beast point-wise. He's also going to Boston College. I can tell you right now, if the Flyers somehow can manage a third first round pick right in that range, I'm pretty sure he'd be the pick. But since Philly doesn't right now, obviously Nashville would be glad to take anything offensive. They've always been a fairly defensive minded franchise, but I think passing on a kid who's very productive, who has a ton of production, I can't see how they pass on him.
Okay. And rounding out our first half of the first round of the NHL draft, pick number 16, the Calgary Flames. Looks like they're going to be going with somebody from the Slovakian national team.
Seems to be consensus here, taking Samuel Hanzek, left winger. He is playing for Vancouver in the WHL, but he's a big boy, 6'3", 195, Slovakian kid. He tested very well at the combines, and everybody, Kimmerman and Morelli, seem to be, they like him for Calgary. And obviously he'll fit more of the mode down the road of like a Matthew Tkachuk. I may not ever become that, but at the same time, you know, right now, the way the issues are with Calgary and everybody, like with Winnipeg, everybody wants to leave Calgary, it seems. Boy, I'll tell you what, they need whatever they can get. Because obviously there are some like guys like Hanifin that are going to get out the door, but I think Hanzek would be a really good fit for them, considering they're still trying to make hay with Huberto and have somebody play with them down the road if they decide to keep Huberto. But Hanzek just seems to be like a really good power forward that would fit well for Calgary.
All right. That tops out our first half of the NHL draft happening on Wednesday, June 28th, I believe. Yes, June 28th. If you want to catch all the action, you can follow us on prohockeynews.com. We will have updated articles as the draft picks come in. We will also have Brian's mock draft posted there so you can follow along and see how well we do, at least, you know, since you've listened to this episode in the first half of the draft. So we'll be coming back again tomorrow with the second part of the first round of the draft to give you picks 17 through 32. So let's end this episode a little traditionally. Let's go with some parting thoughts. I'm going to start with Lou. What's on your mind this week?
Where are my Rangers? I know they're dead. That's my parting thought for today.
Okay. All right. Brian, have any thoughts this week?
My only thought this week is that I'm starting a new job next week. Oh. So I'm trying to get prepared for that and, you know, get back on the saddle again. So my life is thinking about that. So life moves on, you know, I'm back in the saddle again sooner than later. And thank God, because like I said, if I had to rely upon the unemployment system in Pennsylvania, I'd go broke tomorrow. So it's really an education. But like, hey, like I said, thankfully, this has been a short turnaround. So I'm really looking forward to a change of scenery.
Good deal.
All right. Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This week, or I guess today, because we'll be speaking to you tomorrow as well. Just had a great time covering hockey this season. Had a great time on the podcast. A lot of, you know, just great stories coming out. And being able to cover everything from the Stanley Cup to the Kelly Cup to the Calder Cup, just had a great time staying in tune with all of that. And, just another great season with the PHN crew. So I know we're going to probably have another episode where we're bringing everybody back on, do a little bit of a season recap. But, you know, that's kind of what's on my mind today. So thank you, listeners, for making us a part of your routine. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Manscaped, LDE, Affinity Jewelry, the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, and to My Custom Sports Chair. Thank you, listeners, for listening in to this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.